God working in me. God working in you. Why does God want to work in you and work in me? He wants to bring out the real man or the real woman of God. That's what God is seeking to do. He's seeking to bring out the real man, the real woman of God. He wants to see the manifestation of Himself in you. He wants to use you for His glory. He wants to equip you to do signs, wonders, and miracles. And that is only going to happen when we really have that connection and God is in us. God needs to be in each and every one of us, and not just, oh, I put my hand up and ask Jesus into my life. That's only the beginning. You only just got onto the first rung of the ladder. You only just begun to start to walk. But it's about moving forward beyond that. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. In fact, we'll read from verse 12 just to give a little bit of colour to it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to do His will and work on the behalf of His good pleasure. For it is God who works in you both to do His will and to work on behalf of His good pleasure. The New Living Translation says this: for God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey Him and the power to do what pleases Him. Amen. So often this world is drawing us away from the world, drawing us into the world, should I say, and drawing us away from God. And yet the Word of God, He's trying to draw us into God so that we would obey God and that we would do the things that God wants us to do that are so pleasing to Him. And I'll tell you this, when you begin to do the things of God, they are so pleasing to Him, they're actually even pleasing to you. They become exciting. The Living Bible puts it like this: for God is at work in you, helping you to want to obey Him, and then helping you to do what He wants. It's simple. Let us not make it complicated. God is at work. He started on me many years ago. He started on Daniel some years ago, 6-7 years ago. See the change. Some of you have known Daniel all his life probably, and you've seen the change. You've seen what the Lord Jesus can do. You've seen what the Word of God can do when you allow the Word of God to take control and to direct your life. There is a great difference. There is a tremendous effect. There's a peace that comes. There's a rejoicing that comes. There's a security and there's a rest in God that comes in it all. But God doesn't want you to be robots. What God wants to do, God wants to partnership with mankind. God wants you to be a partner in the things of the kingdom. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them the earth and everything that's in it. He said, Just look after it for me. Rule and reign. Take your responsibilities. Take the authority that I give to you. Partner with me. And see what can happen. Join me. Join with God. You know, God, there's an invitation from God to say, join me. Come on. The creator of the universe turns to his best bit of creation and says, join me. Join me in this adventure. Join me in this destiny and this journey. And the only way that can happen as we join him is what happens to us. He begins to work in each and every one of us. The Word of God says he's changing us from glory to glory to glory. If you notice when you buy a new car or a fairly new car, after the months go by, you see the shine gets less and less and less. And suddenly you see some of the steel that was nice and shiny starts to change colour and goes a brown colour. And it's not called suntan, by the way. It's called rust. And it rusts. And it rusts until in the end some of it either needs cutting out and something else putting in to replace it, or in the end it is just crushed. You know, from a great big thing that can seat 5 or 6 people, it suddenly becomes a square box, crushed metal. God's not doing that. God's come to us, and he's come to bless us, he's come to empower us. He's come to bring us to a place where we can be effective people in the kingdom of God. Amen. He's come to us so that we can be life changers. Amen. In this world. He's come to us to enable his presence to live in us. He's come to us so that his power can flow through us. That we as individuals can be involved in the signs, wonders and miracles that Jesus talks about, that Jesus demonstrated when he walked the earth. The Great Commission. Go. Where are we going? Where are we going? Go. Into all the world. Speak the good news. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons in the name of Jesus. That's the commission of the church. Commission of the church is not to have a concert every Sunday. All right, it's a further commission. The responsibility of church leadership is to equip the saints for their work in ministry. Equipping you and me. Do you have a ministry? That's a good question, isn't it? Do you have a ministry? Everybody's quiet. I'll not volunteer just in case. I'll not blink. You know? Whatever you do, don't blink while he's looking at you. You know, stay like this, you know. Me? No, not me. Must be the next person to me. That's who you need to talk to. Yeah? Do you have a ministry? Never mind looking away from me. That's just as bad, you know. I'm still here whether you're looking at me or not. You know? God is still here whether you're looking at him or not. Whether you choose to ignore God, he's still here. Some people turn their back on God and walk away from him. But guess what? God's still here. He still exists. Some people try and tell me there is no God. But guess what? He's still here. And he still exists. He's real. Some people try and tell me that God doesn't heal people anymore. bunkum. He does. I've seen it recently. But God wants to use vessels. He's looking for people to join with. He's looking for individuals to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll pay the price. I'll take the standard. I'll stand for you. I'll declare your truth. No matter what people think or what people say." In the early church, men and women were thrown to the lions. They were sacrificed because they said, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's working in me and changing me. And I will stand for the truth that He did signs, wonders, and miracles, and that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever." And those miracles, those healings will still go on and on and on and on. And men and women died for the gospel. Men and women died for this Bible that we have in our hands. They died to write it. They died printing it. And sometimes we treat it so lightly. We forget that people gave everything so that you and I might know the pleasure of being able to read the Word of God freely and easily and develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to partner with us. God wants you to know His presence, His love, and His power. And He wants to use you and me to show it to all mankind. John 1:4-8, it says simply this: God is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son Jesus to die on a cross. Why? Just to cause and inflict pain? No. He gave Him so that you and I should not have to suffer all of this pain. That you and I should not have to suffer loss and separation from God. He died so that you and I can be connected to God. To have a relationship with God. To know the love of God. And to not be afraid of God and His very presence. When love comes in to embrace us, to protect us, to stand with us. John 4:4 says this in the New American Standard. It says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world." When you connect with God, when you commit your life to the Lord Jesus, the Word of God says you are from God. You are messengers from God. You are a witness from God. And the presence and the power of God is in your life. And He's causing you and I to become overcomers. The world's not going to beat us. God's in charge. People say, "Lord Jesus is coming back soon." I don't doubt the message. How soon is soon? I don't know. But the one thing I do know, the only reason He's coming back, He's coming back for a wedding. He's coming back for a wedding. And who's the Who's the most important person at the wedding? It's not the vicar. Is it? Who's the most important person at the wedding? Hello? Bride. Oh, thank you. I'm hoping the God's there. The bride. The bride. Nobody looks at the groom or the best man, do they? Oh, he's gone. You know, they might go, oh, he's got a nice suit, you know, and that's it. But, oh, look at her. Isn't she lovely? And everybody stands and watches her walk in. Everybody is waiting for the bride to arrive into the church. Yeah?
Yeah.
Jesus is coming for a well-dressed, glorious-looking bride.
Yeah. Amen.
That everybody will suddenly go, wow. Wow. Oh, look. I mean, come on, none of you young girls, when you get to that point where you're thinking about getting married, they're going to think, well, I'll just go in my jeans and get married, are you? Hello? Now, you won't, that I do know. You will be late for your wedding. Yeah. She'll still be putting a face on. You know, got to do my eyebrows right, you know. Oh, that's not right, you know. And next thing it'll be, Mom, 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 you know. And the mum will be spinning around like, well, you know. And it's like, oh my, I don't envy the future with that one. You know? True? Yeah. We love you though, don't we? Yeah. But she wants to, they want to look the best, don't they? Nothing wrong with that. And the church, the bride of Christ, should look its best. Should be the best. Should be empowered by the very presence of God and the Holy Spirit in its life. It's God's intention. It's God's intention. And when the church begins to rise in its glory, in the glory of the Spirit of God, then look out. Watch. Because then the bridegroom is about to appear. But at the moment, God has got some work to do in me. Has He got work to do in you? Is He still working on you? Are you still giving God the opportunity to work in you, to change you, to shape you, to mold you, to equip you? Because each and every one of you, God wants to flow through you. God wants to minister through you. God wants to use you to change people's lives. You might say, oh, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough. I can't speak. God will give you the words. God will give you the ability. God will give you the confidence to trust in Him. I was shy, quiet, reserved. Didn't say anything to anybody. Now look at me. When you get him going, you can't shut him up, can you? Can't keep him quiet once he gets started. See, once I start talking about the Lord Jesus, once I start talking about the Word of God, you've got me. I just can't give up. I just get so excited. And you know, when you start to be excited about the things of God, guess what? God gets excited. He wants to turn up and He wants to spend time with you and with me. He wants to flow through us. God wants to use us for His praise and for His glory. Don't push God to one side. Draw him into the very center of your life. I've said this many times. Put Jesus in the center. Make him first. Everything else will come into order. Everything else will come into order. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work on behalf of his good pleasure." What's God's good pleasure? What is God's good pleasure? I believe it's this. His good pleasure is for you to have everything the Word of God says. That you can have. That you can do everything that the Word of God says you can do. You can be everything that the Word of God says you can be. I'll do that again. His good pleasure, God's good pleasure, is for you to have everything the Word of God says that you can have. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The promises of God, they're mine. Amen. That's what the Word of God tells us. God's saying, you can have these. That you can do everything that the Word of God says you can do. Wow. There is so much to do in the things of God. People have said in the past, oh, it must be boring to be a Christian. Really? You've never connected with God. You've connected with a religion. But you've never connected with God. His good pleasure is that you can be everything the Word of God says you can be. Well, I've got limitations in my life. Well, let God loose you from the limitations. Let God break the bondages that stop you doing what God wants you to do. Because God wants you to have great pleasure in life. God wants you to know the pleasure of God and the pleasure of serving and working with God. One thing that happens to us is that doubt, unbelief, stop us. We look at others instead of looking at Jesus. What will that person think about me? What will that person say about me? What if I make a mistake? Let me tell you this. You will make a mistake. Whether you live for Christ or you live for the things of the world and the devil, you will still make a mistake. Is that true? So get over it. Stop trying to be perfect before you're going to do anything for God. Because if you wait while you're perfect, it will be too late. Because God takes imperfect vessels and pours his perfect love through them. And in that process of God pouring his perfect love through us, it also works on us and changes us, as well as changing everybody else that we come in contact with. So don't wait while you're perfect, because you're going to be perfect one day when all of self has died. Well, that's going to take a while, isn't it, brother? Huh? That's going to take a while. God's still at work on me. All right, don't jump in that fast. You know, just give it at least pause before you say, yeah. You know, at least imagine you. Let me imagine you've thought about it before you say, oh yeah. He's at work on you, all right. You know, just give it a bit of, you know, as if to think, yeah, he's moved along a bit. You know, but. Don't just dive in straight away and then splash everybody with it. You know, like, yeah, well, there's a lot of work yet to do. There is a lot of work to do. Go on, do it again. No, okay. There it is. Thank God he's not given up on us. You know, he's not given up on us. We're on a journey. We're on a journey and we've not yet arrived at our destination. Thank God for that. We're on a journey. We're moving forward. You know, it says in, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this: fixing your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Take note. Let your gaze, let your focus be on Jesus, the author and perfecter and finisher of our faith. He's the author. He's the perfecter. He's the finisher of our faith. And then he goes on to say, who for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus endured the cross. He took my punishment. He took your punishment. That God could approach us, that we could approach God, and God could start a work in us. You know, I think it's great when so often you hear Christians say, when I found God, God wasn't lost. God has never been lost. Okay? Actually, God came looking for you. He found you. You did not find him, because you and I have never been looking for God. When we were sinners, we were not looking for God, were we? I certainly wasn't. But he was looking for you. He was calling your name. You were running the other way. Every time he heard the name of God, God's calling him, he headed the other way. Keep going that way. Keep going that way. Run. Chase something else. But God continued to chase. Went looking for the lost sheep. That's what Jesus told, the parable of the good shepherd. He went looking for the lost sheep and brought it back. The sheep wasn't looking for the shepherd. The sheep went looking over the wall to see what might be on the other side that might be useful and interesting. That's what humanity does. Chasing drugs and alcohol and all these other things. Looking for pleasure. Looking for joy, peace and satisfaction. And yet, it's available in Christ Jesus. All these other things will get you into massive trouble. But when you come to God and allow him to begin a work within you, so that all of a sudden, God has a plan to reveal the real man, the real woman of God, with a plan and a purpose and power. And God wants to equip each and every one of us. Oh, well, Andrew, you don't know what I've done in my past. No, but God does. And the message hasn't changed. You see, it's not about what you have done. It's all about what Jesus has done for you on that cross. Because what he did for you has cancelled all the things that you ever did. in the negative. His death, his life, his blood, his sacrifice has cancelled everything that you did wrong, has paid the price for everything that you did wrong, so that he could turn round and say, now I'm going to make this a real man of God, a real woman of God. These are my children, these are my people, and they will do what my heart wants to do in this world today. The pleasure of God is to bless people. The pleasure of God is to give. The Bible talks in one of his parables that God wants to give to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. In other words, God's not short. God is available, he's able to do far above all that we can understand, think, or believe. You see, God wants to enable you. So often the world system wants to restrict you. You've got to compromise to what your friends think about you. You've got to be like your friends. You've got to dress like your friends. You've got to act a prat like your friends. Fool like your friends. You've got to be as dumb as your friends, as daft as your friends, as dopey as they are. No, you haven't. And you and I are called into the kingdom of God. We're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other words, we are appointed to a position. We are called to a position and a place. And we have authority. We have power. We have all of heaven behind us. The thing is, we need to stop doubt and unbelief from preventing us from believing and acting upon what God has given to us. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be the best. We should be glorious, because that is what his calling is to each and every one of us. People should look at us and think, there is something that is very, very different about you. And some people may laugh at you, but I tell you what, when trouble strikes, when problems come, do you know who they turn to? Yeah? They turn to us. Because they've seen that we stood the test of time. We've stood in the storms. We've stood through the ridicule. We've stood through doubt and unbelief. They've stoned us with their words. They've mocked us and scoffed at us. And yet we're still the same. We love them. Because God is love. And the love of God resides in each and every one of us. Because God is changing us. God wants to make you exactly like Him. God wants to flow through. God wants to equip you. You are a daughter of God. You're not just anybody. You don't just have an earthly mother and father. You have a godly father. You're His daughter. You're His son. He loves you. He wants to give you good things. He wants to equip you. But the big question is, will I let God work in me? Am I going to let God direct my pathway? Or am I going to choose my own way? Am I going to let the world knock me off course and go down to the pit somewhere and be distracted? Am I going to be like the prodigal son that says, Dad, I want all my money? That'd be good, wouldn't it, Dilly? You'd have your girls off your hands, you know. Dad, I want my money all now. and said, I'm leaving. And Dilip would go, glory to God, peace. You know, Mum would cry, obviously. Probably, maybe, I don't know. The kids have gone. Hallelujah. No, they wouldn't. Gone to do their own thing. Don't want this God thing anymore. Don't want your limitations on my life. Like the prodigal son. Everybody saw him coming with his bags of money, staggering along, and they thought, hey, I'm going to be his pal. Oh, I'll be his mate. Come on, I'll help you spend that. Hey, let's go on a party. And he parted, and he parted, and he parted. And he was the centre of the parties. God was somewhere else on the fringes. And then one day his friends came and said, are you going to throw another party? And he suddenly said, I ain't got no money left. I'm skinned. Do you know what happened next? He was skinned to friends as well. They all walked out. He's like, where are you going? You've no money. You've got nothing that we want. We don't need you anymore. Next thing you know, he's eating pig muck, pig food, sleeping with the pigs. One day he realizes, I've been stupid. You know the story. He comes back and guess who's looking for him? Father. Sees him walking in the distance. Sees this shape. Thinks, I recognize that. I know who that is. Chip off the old block. Walks like his dad. Father runs to him, grabs hold of him, puts a ring on his finger. He says, come on, you're home. Amen. Then his father threw a party. His father threw a party. Amen. His father's a picture of God looking for you and for me. Because God wants to do a work in you. God wants to work through you. God wants to bless you and use you to be a blessing to many others. The world is only going to find Jesus when we start handing out the blessings of God. The world is going to find Jesus when we start talking about Him and ministering healing and praying for people and encouraging people. God working through us. The Spirit of God wants to work and flow through you. God wants to you to turn God loose in your life. Give Him free charge to look through your life. We were talking on Wednesday evening, and I often refer to our lives to be a little bit like the temple of God in the Old Testament, and there were many rooms in it. And Nehemiah had built the walls around and the temple had been rebuilt. And Nehemiah went to check up on everything later, and they were giving Nehemiah a guided tour around the temple. And he's going and he's checking out the rooms. And he's seeing what's in the rooms. And every room, every place in the temple was to be sanctified and to be holy. And suddenly he finds a room with things in that are not holy things. He says, what is this? The priesthood says, it belongs to Sanballat and Tobias. Really? These were the enemies of God. These were the people that wanted to kill Nehemiah to stop him building the walls. He said, take everything out, burn it, cleanse and sanctify the room. It's Very much like a picture of when the Holy Spirit comes into our life and He begins to look through our lives. But He begins to look through and say, you know, Daniel, there's this in your life that you've still not yet dealt with. And we need to work on it. And then it's like, can we leave that out another time, Lord? And He's like, no. We need to start the process now. You know, in the great crusades that Billy Graham used to have, when thousands of people came to Christ, there was a song that was often sung at the end as he was making an appeal. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. And so bid me come to thee, Lamb of God, I come. There was another song that went along in a similar vein that was, I surrender, all to Jesus I freely give. And you know, when you mean that, God begins a process in your life. God will change things for you, because when you begin to surrender all to Him, you're beginning to turn God loose in your very life. You're beginning to say, Lord, come in and start the cleaning program. Yeah. And He begins to work His way through your life. And the thing that we have to watch is that we don't start to bring things in that clutter our lives up. Yeah. We have to allow God to work in us. And it's a constant progress of moving forward. And you know, we need to realize that day by day, sometimes we have to confess our things to the Lord. If we return to Romans chapter 10, and it says this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We need to tell people. We need to use our mouth and tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. And when we begin to do that, we'll begin to believe in our own hearts that God did raise Jesus from the dead, and that we will be saved. And that, you know, in believing it, that every one of us comes into a right relationship with Father God. And when we do that, faith begins to arise, and its enemies are scattered. And it says that I believe that Jesus died for me. I know it. He's changed my life. He's set me free. But guess what? We're a work in progress. Because God wants to reveal Himself through you, to your friends, to your neighbours. God wants to bring out the real powerful man and woman of God that can change society, that can reveal God in this world of ungodliness and wickedness. The only way He's going to do it is through you and through me, through people who believe that Jesus rose again, through people who believe that Jesus said, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons in my name. And when we begin to do that, we shall see the presence and the power of God working through us and in us and in the lives of other men and women. And I don't know today if every one of us has made that decision to follow the Lord Jesus. But I would encourage you. Begin the process. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your life. That God could make a real man, a real woman of God out of you. So that you are something precious. That you are something that is so special. And the world has never seen anything like it. Because you are the visible glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God wants. Can we just bow our heads for a moment?